Blog Talk Radio.
We would have you understand that the flame that you are burns eternally and shall never go out, no matter how bright you allow yourself to become. We shall have you understand that you exist now and always shall, and you always have, because now is the only time and the only place and the only existence there is and always has been and ever shall be. You are eternal. You are infinite. You are spirit. You are body. You are mind. You are heart. You are soul. You are an idea. You are an expression. You are a thought. You are a dream of the infinite creation. But that is reality, and all reality is couched within your dream. You contain it all. You are the whole expression in your own individualized way. You are the matrix. The matrix is you. You are everything. Everything comes from you. Everything gives birth to you as you reinforce the existence of everything and everyone. All that is, the infinite creation, the fabric of existence, chose you. Chose that you should exist. Chose you. Consciously chose you. You are in that way, therefore, blessed. And we would have you understand that. Simply because of the fact that you exist, you are blessed. For you are created out of divine material, out of divine light. You are the infinite creator. And your existence was a conscious decision, a conscious thing, a conscious choice. Act in like manner. Be of like mind. Respect yourselves. Love yourselves unconditionally. For out of unconditional love were you created. And out of unconditional love shall you create anything you desire. Begin to feel the energy of your interlinking with all thought forms, all consciousness, all civilizations, all eyes, all ideas, all mind, all hearts, all soul, all spirit is one. And you are one within that sea, within that pool. Know that you are the fabric and the essence of the galactic energy. Not one of you, in that sense, can be removed from the matrix without the collapse of the entire structure. You are integral in that way. You are essential in that way. And we would have you understand that because you are interconnected in this way, because everything you do has impact within the entirety of creation, that you deserve to exist in this way, and you deserve to be the fullest individual you can imagine yourself to be, that you deserve to manifest all the things you can conceive of, that you deserve the existence you have been given, or it would not have been granted to you. That you deserve all the love you can imagine, because love is what you are made out of. That you deserve all the light you can create in your life, because light is what you are made out of. Feel in the beating of your heart that it keeps pace with the rhythm and the pulse of the spinning of all the galaxies, of the fabric of existence itself, of the universal heart of infinite creation. For you all beat within that heart, and not a one of you is outside the heart of all that is. You are the blood and the life force of God itself. It is your force and your life as well. You are it, and it is you. Out of your dreams, be born. Out of your heart, be alive. Out of your soul, be light. For you are nothing else.
And welcome to Revolutionary Life.
This is Gary speaking. I'm your host tonight at Revolutionary Life. Guys, we're here every weekday night between 7 p.m. and 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, right here on Blog Talk Radio. Every weekday night, Monday through Friday, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. You never know what the subject's going to be, so I suggest that people follow. There's a little follow button up there. You can click that. It may give you a heads up on what the subject matter of each one of our presentations will be, but you can guarantee that we're going to look at these issues, and what these issues are issues that affect our lives that we talk about here. Directly and indirectly, things that affect our lives every day. Difference. We talk about them from a revolutionary perspective. Revolutionary Life takes a revolutionary perspective on all of these subjects because revolution is just change. And there's a lot of things that are changing out there. One of the things we're going to talk about tonight, guys, our title tonight is a message to white supremacists, white nationalists, and their ilk. Wake up. Simple message. It's time to wake up. It's later than you think. So tonight, guys, a message to white supremacy. You want to be in on this tonight? Because this is a message that's long overdue. If you haven't got it yet, it's very important, I think, that we speak to that. We got white supremacists marching in our streets. We had a president supporting white supremacy and white power movements, you know, fine people. And so, yeah, so I hope some of those fine people are listening tonight. Because tonight we're going to talk about white power. We're going to talk about white supremacy. We're going to talk about white nationalism and the like. And so tonight, guys, it's going to be very interesting. Hold on to your hats, because when I get back, we're going to do white power tonight. We're going to do white nationalism tonight. We're going to do white supremacy tonight. It's about time. Oh, yeah. It's past time. But we're going to take a revolutionary look at this subject tonight. Let's see what that looks like. I'm going to give you a little music, guys. I'll be right back, and we're going to get to it. You're listening to Revolutionary Life. This is Gary. I'm your host tonight. And tonight, if you're new to the station, we're here every weekday night, Monday through Friday, from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. If you've been around a while, you know that our subject matter varies, but it's always about something that affects our lives every day. Directly and indirectly affects our lives every day. Difference is, we take these issues on from a revolutionary point of view. Now, revolution ain't nothing but change, guys. Change. Change is constant. The revolutionary just wants to be on the vanguard of that change. The reactionary wants to hold back change. Revolutionaries want to be on the vanguard. You know, if you're in the front, if you're on top of change when it goes down, you may have something to do with how it ends, how it lands, how it's shaped when it lands. You may have some say. But if you're on the ass end of change when it goes down, you just get taken on by the wave. We try to stay on we try to keep our fingers on the pulse around here. Tonight, we're talking white supremacy. Tonight, we're talking white power. Tonight, we're talking white nationalism. I hope I mentioned the term you're familiar with between those three. They come in many shapes. They come in many organizational forms. Sometimes they're called patriotism. I think our past President Eisenhower, once said that when fascism comes to America, it will come to the America shaped in Americanism. Patriotism. Well, there are organizations that propose themselves to be white nationalists. There are white nationalists who belong to no organization. But they have these sentiments. So I hope they're listening as well. This is very important, guys, because this segment says white power, white nationalists, white supremacists, and their fellow travelers should wake up. What do we mean? They should wake up. Are they asleep? They're not so asleep as much as they're late to the game. They missed the boat. The boat left them behind. I don't blame them for being upset because the boat's gone, baby. And until you wake up to that, you're going to be gone. Literally. As an ideology, even. I mean, it's kind of hard to kill an ideology. But if nobody is perpetuating it, you see, the perpetuation of an ideology keeps it alive. The perpetuation of your ideology dying, deteriorating. The symbols that represented your white supremacist way of thinking. Not just the symbols, but the government, the law, that supported your way of thinking for so long. It's changed, baby. It's time for your way of thinking to change if you're going to keep up. Now, it ain't your fault. Some of you who are white supremacist leaning, white supremacist sentiment, white supremacist hold white supremacist sentiments, and some of you who are white nationalists. Now, nationalists love their country, their nation, But when you call yourself a white nationalist and you see your nation as being of a certain race, that's the nation that you look forward to. You're not just a nationalist. You don't just care about your country. So let's cut the patriotism bullshit. If you're a white nationalist, not only do you care about your country, you only care about it if it has a certain flavor. It has certain racial power base. Well, I got news for you. Race, and you ought to know this by now, race does not hold your organization, your efforts, your idea together any longer. I mean, the son of the queen, the English royal family have married outside of their race. And it ain't the first time. And it won't be the last. And if they ain't white, who is? So your days are numbered, guys. If you look around the world, you will see that you're number one on the earth. You're outnumbered. There's more people of color than white people. But that's okay with you. You still believe that that minority on the face of this earth is supposed to be supreme over the rest of the people on earth. Or your nation, once it's all is white nationalists are supreme or special, as opposed to a black nationalist. You ever heard of black nationalism? Both of those are patriots. Both of those extol their nation in their name. They both of them speak to their alliance, their allegiance to a nation just by their title. But it also begins exalting a race, one over another, as part of its title, white nationalist and a black nationalist. Guys, I did a presentation that you need to get a hold to. And all my, if you're new to this channel, all my presentations are archived. And so you can go back. If you're on this site, you can scroll down and you can see the on-demand section. And you can go back to all of my older presentations. And one of them talk about corporations and religion and race and nations. Those barriers were broken by business and finance a long time ago. You are the only one still playing that game. And whether you're doing it out of ignorance, and we'll get to that, or whether you're doing it because you're trying to keep others ignorant, we'll get to that. If you're promoting white supremacy, you've lost the battle already, at your mouth, at the gate. You don't represent most of the people on the planet. Okay? So you understand that, but you still say white supremacy. Well, you don't represent the most supreme people on the planet. Right? As you go back into ancient times, you're finding out that Western European civilization, or quote-unquote white civilization, is done and come lately in civilizations. Not just civilizations, and engineering wonders. You are down in Machu Picchu in South America wondering how they did that. You're down in Tegucigalpa. You're over in Africa and Egypt and the Giza Plateau marveling at shit that was done before there was a Europe. You lost the battle at the gate. No. I did a presentation just recently I'd like for you to take a listen to. It'll give you some more background. But it's called War, Conquest, and Enslavement. That's the only source of white supremacy that I can find in history. A supremacy built off of savagery and barbarism, feudalism. Kings and queens, royal families, and bloodlines. Is that it? Is that all you got? A bloodline? A royal lineage? Is that all you got? Guns and weapons? Because that's how it's been done. I mean, when I do that presentation on war, conquest, and enslavement, I walk through Western European societies, great civilizations, the ones I was taught about in public school. Nothing special, what I learned in public school. They told me Alexander the Great and Greece was a great society. Only later did I find out that it became great through war, quest, and enslavement. Yes, I found out that Greece was a slave society. In school, they told me that Caesar and Rome and the aqueducts and the Colosseums was some great thing. I found out later that Rome was built by war, conquest, and enslavement. Yeah, Rome was a slave society. They should have mentioned that to me, that this is how great civilizations in the Western European world are built. But I was to consider Alexander the Great great and Greece great. I didn't understand when he was teaching me that, how it got to be that way. So Greece was supreme. They said Alexander conquered the known world. Rome was supreme. They said Roman conquered the known world. Great Britain was supreme. They said the sun never set on the British Empire. But they gained their supremacy not by how smart they were or how healthy they were or how great societies they created for most people on the places they conquered. Oh, no. Oh, no, 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 no. They created, built, and maintained supremacy through war, conquest, it seems, and enslavement all the way to the Americas. That Western European ideology of war, conquest, and slavery visited this continent from the Indian Wars atrocities to the Mexican-American Wars, the land grab, to the conquest of the people of this country, the native people of this country. Conquest meaning changing their language, changing their religion, changing their culture to the conquerors. That's the way it works. And the people you brought here for labor and the immigrants you allowed to come here for their cheap labor. They had to learn your language and your religion and your culture to be accepted. So I understand that's how you were raised. That's what my school taught me. War, conquest, and enslavement builds great civilizations. It obviously has. They didn't last. So if I wanted to build a great civilization and I had a little problem, is that the people I was trying to conquer were united, regardless of their race. And the smart thing for me to do is to not to attack all of these people at once, but to break them up and have them fighting each other. Then I could come in and join one side against the other until that side is destroyed, and then we can move on. I could go to one tribe and say, let me help you destroy your enemies. And me and that tribe, and I would join that tribe with my weapons, and we would destroy that tribe's enemies. And before their tribe knew it, we would destroy them. After their enemies are gone, they're the only ones left. It's the oldest time, breaking people up so that they don't organize, they don't come together. Caesar, when he attacked France, he didn't call it France. France means free. He called it Gaul, G-U-A-L, or G-A-U-L, Gaul. Caesar attacked Gaul, but he didn't just attack them all at once. He says all Gaul, total Gaul, is divided in tres partes, tres partes est. In Latin, that means all Gaul is divided in three parts. What we will do is we'll go to one part and say, let me help you vanquish your enemies. And then we'll go to the second one, vanquish it. And then when there's just one left, we will vanquish that one. And that's how France, what's now called France, word meaning free, became a prisoner of a territory of Rome, conquered by Rome. Same thing here. When they needed to oppress the people for their labor and resources, Native Americans who owned land, who had hunting grounds and burial grounds and all that kind of thing here already. When they needed to take those resources, they had to vilify those people. The people they needed to help them take that those resources were poor people of all races. The people who needed those resources, the wealthy, employed those poor people and set them about vanquishing the rich enemies. That is, those who occupied land that the rich wanted. So the Native Americans, there were actually Indian fighters. There was actually Buffalo Bill was actually held up as the great Indian fighter. Why did you have to be an Indian fighter? What's that about? The Indians were in the way, baby. And they hired poor and working people, paid them money to help them move those Indians, those Native Americans, out of their way. The Mexicans were in the way, baby. So they employed Buffalo soldiers and Black Jack Pershing. We'll talk about old Blackjack one of these days to push the Mexicans out of Texas and New Mexico and Arizona and other and several other places, California. Oh, war, conquest, and enslavement requires a program. You see, when the British wanted to colonize Africa, and when the Belgians under Leopold wanted to colonize the Congo, they raised money from the corporations, Royal Dutch Shell, the Atlantic and Pacific Tea Company, A&P, and the like, Anglo-American Gold Company. Many of them still over in Africa to this day. But they needed the public support. So they told the public, we are going to Africa to spread the three C's. What are the three C's? Commerce, civilization, and Christianity. And the population said, okay, here's the money, go for it. Sounds like a good reason for going. They didn't say anything about war. They didn't tell them they was going to conquer some people and enslave them. Maybe they wouldn't have been able to raise the money. I don't know. So the story has to be, the program has to be put in, and it has to be sold. The news media, everybody has to be involved. The government, everybody has to be involved in selling this program. There's nothing in America but savages. So it's okay that we take their land Because they're just savages. They're not like we're taking it from a real person, a real human being, another human being. Oh, no, no, no. They're just naked savages. France did the same thing. England did the same thing. The Arabs did the same thing. Because that's necessary when you want to conquer a people and you need some poor people who don't understand why they're going over in these other people's country killing them. You need them to agree with you and to go and to believe what they're doing is right. And so you need a program. So everything is employed to school you, to educate you, to prepare you for the program. I got a whole presentation, guys, on education. Public education, that's the only one I know about. I didn't go to private school. Maybe you can help me on that. But I got a whole presentation on your education, on the education system in this country. And I told you how happy and proud my university was on career day to tell the parents that they had went around and talked to corporations around the country and asked what they want in tomorrow's worker. What would you like in tomorrow's worker? They asked the corporate heads. And the corporations told them, a self-starter, a hard worker, da-da-da-da-da. And they came back and they told parents, your student has gone to, we went around to all these corporations. And so we fashioned our curricula around those corporations' needs. So your son or daughter, as soon as they get out of this university, they're going to be ready. They're going to be ready for the world of work. In other words, I just told you that the education that your child is going to get is nothing more than what corporations need. So I'm going to teach them how to go find a job. That's all. Not a career, not a profession, not a life dream, a goal. No, 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 no. I'm going to teach them to find somebody to work for. And the parent says, oh, wow, that's great. And so there needs to be a program. And my university went out and got the program, and they came back and instituted it as part of their curriculum. What was the program? Teach the kids STEM. S-T-E-A-M. S-T-E-M. STEM, science, technology, engineering, and math. That's all we want is technicians and mathematicians. Get rid of all those liberal arts classes. We don't want them to read history. We don't want them to appreciate art. We don't want them to appreciate music. We don't want them to appreciate anything, writing or anything. We don't want them to be critical thinkers. They might want to run something. Oh, no. We need some technicians. We need some technicians to do some applied science. And every time you hear the word applied associated with science, not just about anything else, it just means we need somebody to make something that we could put on a shelf tomorrow and sell. No theoretical research stuff. We need some applied science. We need something that you're going to create that I can sell tomorrow. Or next year, once a year, a new phone, new color, new style, so I can charge more for it and put a new one out every 12 months. So you need to sell people on this. It's just like the Star Spangled Banner or the Pledge of Allegiance at a football game. That didn't start until wartime. When the whole country, when there was war movies on TV, combat, all kinds of different movies about World War was on TV. All your stars, John Wayne and some of the big stars, were all in combat movies, war movies. It was getting the country ready to go to war. And so they introduced this Pledge of Allegiance into football. Before then, there was no such thing as standing up during the Pledge of Allegiance at a football game. That was part of war propaganda that was introduced. And so, like I said, if you got to, you got to introduce a program to have people go along with it. My point, guys, white supremacists, is you guys got caught up in the program. That was a necessary program, yeah. And it was a smooth program. Worked like a charm. And y'all got caught up in it. But the program's over. You got left behind. You're remnants. You're remnants of a big lucrative move that has played itself out. We'll talk about that move and what made it so lucrative. But it played itself out, Jack. And if you still white supremacist leaning or tendencies, hang on. When I get back, I'm going to tell you what they told and sold you. You don't hear me. I'll be back. You're listening to Revolutionary Life. This is Gary speaking. Revolutionary Life is right here on Blog Talk Radio every weekday night, Monday through Friday, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. And tonight, here on Revolutionary Life, right here on Blog Talk Radio, we're discussing white supremacy. And when I left here just a minute ago, I told the white supremacists that I had a message for them. I told them they've been told and sold a program that was necessary in order to carry out an economic activity that required them to dislike, to hate, and to join in and the benefits of, enjoy the benefits of white supremacy. Why? Because history says that black slaves are easy to identify. White slaves are hard to tell whether that's a slave or not. Black slaves were easy to identify, and they were very lucrative. All you had to worry about is what Adam Smith, the father of capitalism, said you had to worry about with a worker. Adam Smith, the father of capitalism, said you never pay a worker more than it takes, more than you would a machine. And I quote, upkeep and maintenance. Slave had slave quarters. Slave ate animal feed, black eyed peas, purple herb peas. That was animal, known as animal feed, chicken feed. So in order to perpetuate this lucrative thing called slavery, free labor, someone helps you create value. And when you exchange that value for money, you give them as little of that money that they help you create as possible, and you can become a Bezos. You can become a billionaire. How do you think we get billionaires and millionaires? Worker productivity is up, they say. And then they said, who shared in that productivity? Turns out that 1% shared greatly in that high productivity. Whose productivity? Yours. So now, if I can get whites to agree with me and to enjoy some benefits of oppressing black people, they'll join the bandwagon whether they like it, whether they like the idea or not. And if they don't like the idea of oppressing another human being for their labor, for fun and profit, then we're going to educate them to like the idea. You see, Greece, Rome were slave societies. It ain't your fault. Slavery came over here as part of a methodology, a mold educated to most Europeans, children and adults and people who lived in European countries, educated to believe that Alexander the Great and Rome were great societies. And they were built through war, conquest, and enslavement. They were slave societies. Colonization made slaves out of the colonized and absorbed their resources. And so that process just came across the pond, baby. That's all. Americans come up with something new. I mean, they did call our form of slavery a unique, peculiar institution. Yeah. Because even the Roman slaves could keep their household gods to pray to. They didn't get their religion taken away from them. But they could have given up their religion. As a matter of fact, they could have given up their culture, their way of life, their history, their name. They weren't asked to. This particular slavery in America instituted some really strict requirements in terms of removing a slave's history. You know, you do that by removing a slave's name. That's all. It's simple. It's simple. You ever watch Roots and you wonder why Kunta Kinte got whooped and beat until he accepted the name Toby, that the Christian name, quote unquote, that the white man was giving him? Why didn't he not give up his name? Because his last name, Kente, tied him back to his village, the Kente people of Africa. Yeah, there's a tribe called the Kente. His last name, Kente, hooked him back to his ancestors, his religion, his culture, the Kente culture, the culture of the Kente people. All that is wrapped up in his name. Remove that and you're on the road to removing who he is, he or she is, as a person on this earth. And so you got a program. You replace that with a new name, a new Christian name. Now, from now on, you're going to be called Toby or Tom. You only have one name. You didn't have a last name. I mean, if you got caught on the road somewhere, you might use a slave owner's last name. My name is Tom Johnson. That means I belong to Mr. Johnson. But other than that, you just have one name, Tom. So now, white people who couldn't afford a slave, now come on now. A slave, a good field hand, was $500 gold. A nice, strong field hand was $500 gold, Jack, back in them days. A poor white man couldn't afford that. Slavery wasn't in his interest initially. Some of them didn't go to the Civil War. How many whites in the South refused to go to the Civil War? How many whites in the South called the Civil War a rich man's war? How many Southerners called that Civil War a rich man's war? Poor whites. They understood it because they saw it coming together. They saw it from its very beginnings. They understood what it meant. They understood it was a war put on by the wealthy. But let me tell you something. The government supported that war. The government supported slavery. Up until 1865, we didn't have a law against the enslavement of people in this country. So that's 200 years right there. Three. And so slavery, Greece, Rome, all slave societies, guys, there's two sides to a structure of a society. There's the economic substructure, how it makes its money. And then there's a superstructure, its institutions. And those institutions are funded. Those institutions exist only as long as they reinforce the economic substructure of that society. In Greece and in Rome and in America, in Europe, the British and all the Germans and the French, all these colonizers and the Arabs, all these colonizers, all of these colonizers, guys, had brought their language and brought their culture to these new conquered people. And they demanded that they accept that culture. They went and told their people that these are slaves. And when a young kid says, what's a slave? They had to explain to him or her, this is why this guy's life is going to stay the way it always is, working for us. They don't understand that, so somebody has to educate them. You got educated, white supremacists, by a superstructure that was built for the sole purpose of reinforcing the substructure, the economic substructure of this nation, which was slavery, which the exploitation of labor always has been. The superstructure are your institutions, your churches. How about that? Your education, your religious institutions, your educational institutions. Their job is to back up the economic substructure. So in Greece and in Rome and in England and in America, they promoted slavery so that everybody would understand why they mistreated and oppressed these people. They're just savages. They're just talented monkeys. You have to do something to convince your population that these ain't just another human being you're beating down, misusing and abusing. And so some of you white supremacists fell for the hype. But it was just hype, baby. These folks needed to make money off of slaves. And they needed your help. They needed overseers. The rich man was going to go out there and oversee the slaves. He had to get a poor white guy. Maybe a new Irish immigrant to oversee the slaves. So I got to convince poor white people that slavery is a good thing, even though they're not making a dime off of it. And so the churches, the religious institutions, when you went into a religious institution, they told you. They turned to a passage in the Bible, white boy. They turned to a passage in the Bible, even when blacks went to church. They turned to a passage in the Bible that says, black people, you are the sons of Ham. And it says right here in the Bible, you were meant to be hewers of wood and carriers of water and servants of servants. Says it right here. Says it right here in the Bible, slave, obey your master as you would me. Says it right there. Religious institutions reinforce the economic substructure. If the economic substructure is built on slaves, the oppression of working people for their labor, then your religious institute, your educational institutions are going to teach that when they come to school. You're going to go to a school separate from the whites. And in your school, they're going to teach you how to behave, how to stay in your lane. And if you and if you have white teachers, if they catch you speaking your native tongue, a Native American child turns to another Native American child in a white school and speaks his native tongue, and the Catholic nun wraps him on the ankle, wraps him on his wrist with a ruler and tells him, boy, we don't talk that mess in here. We talk English in here. Immigrant schools. The dirty immigrants, John Dewey called them. Y'all don't hear me. You fell for the hype, white guy. Yeah, it was necessary to tell you that white people were more superior and white people contributed more to civilization than any other race and all that good shit. Yeah, they had to tell you that so you could help them oppress these people and make that money, get that bag. Segregation came along. And then you guys got up and said, wait a minute, we're not supposed to be segregating. We're not supposed to be integrating with black people. We're supposed to hate black people, don't we? They're supposed to work for us, don't we? That's what we all been taught. But check this out, man. If you're a store owner, say you own a little soda shop, drink, you make ice cream sodas for kids when they come in after school, and most of your clientele is white, and they've been sold and told that no white and black shouldn't mix and all that good shit that was out there. Their churches told them, their schools told them, all their institutions told them this, the superstructure. Now this guy runs this soda shop. He's getting money from these white kids who got all this expendable income, these extra income. Now, here's some black kids come along, and they want to come into that soda shop and sit down and have a soda too. Well, now you're a merchant. You're finna get money from black folks and white folks. You're getting money with both hands now. But if you thought for a minute that allowing black customers in your business would run away them good-paying white customers, because they've been told and sold that they're not supposed to be in the same, sitting in the same seats or some shit, next to a black person, if they done bought that lie from back in the day and they still carrying it around and teaching it to each other, like they don't know things have changed, this store owner is going to say, okay, I'm going to put a white only sign out front. He may not be prejudiced against blacks. But prejudice ain't had a damn thing to do with it. If he could, he'd take black money and white money. But for fear that he's going to lose his white customers, he'll walk outside and put a white-only sign on his shop. So he knows he don't lose them good-paying white customers. They ain't coming in here if he let blacks come in. Y'all think I'm bullshit. Right here where I stay, you could go to this certain shop, restaurant, and you can order just like anybody else. But if you were black, you went around to the back and there was a takeout window just for you. And sure enough, your food would come to the takeout window and you pay for it. The white folks inside never had to see your face because you didn't go through the front door. But a businessman wanted both them people's money. He wanted black and white money. So he made a takeout window back there. He might have had a white-only sign up front, Jack, but he had a takeout sign in the back because it was all about that money, and it's still all about that money. And if you fail for white supremacy, if you fail for the hype back when it was necessary, back when it paid off, them days are gone, baby. Time for you to wake up now. Remember them stories you were told. Black people grow tail at night. You know better now. You know this was propaganda so rich folks could make money off oppressing a large group of people. Free labor. Now, some of y'all enjoyed that, getting the first place in line and having a nicer place than the black folks had. And that's all you had left when businesses left your ass behind because businesses wanted money from everybody, black or white. And you were stopping them. The only reason that business put a white-only sign up front is because he was scared he's going to lose his white customers. Other than that, why wouldn't he want that money? And to prove it, he put a takeout window. He put a takeout window around back where colored people can come and spend that money. Because it was all about that money. It's still about that money. It ain't about race, baby. If you still playing, if you still mentally, if you still allowing people to talk to you about race as a difference here, and that this country's condition is based on racial problems, or a certain race is bringing this country down, or immigrants and shit like that, wake up, baby. Follow the money. The money ain't with slavery no more. The money ain't with Jim Crow anymore. And so those people who promoted those lies have moved on. Anytime you move on, let me tell you what happens to white supremacists when everybody moves on. And I hope you listen up. I hope you listen up. I'll be right back. You're listening to Revolutionary Life tonight. This is Gary speaking. I'm your host tonight. And tonight, guys, we're talking about white supremacy, white power, and white nationalism. When I left here just a minute ago, I told you I'm going to tell you what happened to white supremacists. I'm going to tell you what happened to white power people. When the economic substructure of a society changes from slavery and oppression by race to a different method, the propaganda changes, and some people just get left behind in the old propaganda. But I'm saying you better wake up, because if you get left behind, certain things happen. For instance, if you're a white supremacist, if you believe in white power, if you're a white nationalist, then perhaps you're familiar with Germany under Adolf Hitler in the 1930s, who ran something called the National Socialist Party. They were socialists. By the way, some of y'all are afraid of socialism. The Nazi Party was the National Socialista. The National Socialist Party. Adolf Hitler's party. If you're familiar with that, and I'm talking to white nationalists now, I'm talking to people who are familiar with white nationalism enough that they've read things like Mein Kampf. Maybe they got around to reading The Rise and Fall of the Third Reich. That's a thick book, but maybe they got around to reading. And in that book, they must have heard about it. They must have heard about a period in German history around Adolf Hitler's time, referred to as the Night of the Long Knives. If you're familiar with Adolf Hitler's Germany, you might, and if you're a white power guy, you might remember something called the Night of the Long Knives. If you don't, baby, you better look it up. This is what happens to you in the end. And it's later than you think. So my white nationalist friends and my Nazi friends and my white supremacists and skinheads and all that, nobody, the people who are leading you told you all about Hitler, but then tell you about the night of the long knives, then go back to your leader, your Klan leader, your Nazi leader, and say, what is this? What is that guy talking about? The night of the long knives. I'll tell you what, skinheads of the time, the white power people, the time, the people who race was everything to them, the white race, the Aryan race was everything to them, the people of that time who were just like you about their whiteness, who fell for that program. It was just a program, a convenient one at the time, but it's moved on. Those who stuck in that program will remember that the Night of the Long Knives, y'all died by the hundreds, I think. Your leadership had their throats cut. And back in those days, they were called the Brown Shirts. They're the ones that went around harassing Jews and knocking and breaking into their stores. They're the ones that were the terrorists. skinheads of the day. And they were used to Adolf Hitler until today, when the corporation Hitler sat down. And Schindler, I don't know if you've seen Schindler, but the corporation sat down with Hitler. Hitler promised them freedom through concentration camps. But all they had to do was put down these radicals who had failed for the white stuff. And that night, guys, the leadership died, and many of you, at the hands of Adolf Hitler, at the hands of the Nazi Party. They use you like they're using you today. Jews will not replace us. White power, white lives, all that bull, man, they're using you. Them days are over when that was economically viable, when you can make money off of race because you were enslaving a group of people by their race, pressing them in society under Jim Crow for another 100 years. Ain't that something? Slaves were supposed to be freed in 1850s. 100 years later, in 1968, Martin Luther King had his head blowed off for fighting for the rights of those same people 100 years later. It no longer became viable to have slaves. It was against the law now, 1865. So it's no longer legal to have slaves. That was good money. Now that's gone. Now what are we going to do? Well, we can still oppress them. We can still pay them less than white people. And we can explain to white people why that is in their schools and in their churches so that they will accept the fact that they got a job over a black guy. Or they got a patent, even though the black guy had the invention. He couldn't go to the patent office, so a white guy got credit for the patent. So you're getting benefits from oppressing these people, and you might not like it. You might not agree with it ideologically, but you benefited from it, and you went along with it, and you didn't fight against it. So you became a part of it. Well, the rich done moved on to another means of exploitation called debt, and you need to bring your white supremacist struggle over to the debt game and start a struggle against those folks. Because they're after you and me. Those are the new chains, and they're not just for black people anymore. You know, China has got corporations in Africa now. These folks don't care nothing about race and nations. Come on now. The world has passed you by. Race and nations? Microsoft is in China. iPhone, that iPhone you got. These people done broke the nation barrier long ago, the race barrier long ago. They done moved on to another means of exploitation of working people, and you part of that party.
That's right.
The rich are having a dinner party, and you're invited. The only thing you have to figure out is whether you're on the guest list or on the menu. White supremacists, you on the menu. Not for me. But you're getting in the way of some business. And when you get in the way of business, the night of the long knives, go back and ask your white supremacist leadership about that night. When Hitler showed his appreciation for his skinheads. You're listening to Revolutionary Life. We just look at things in life from a revolutionary point of view. That's all. And revolution ain't nothing but change, baby. The revolutionary just wants to be on the vanguard of change. The reactionary got left behind. They try to hold back change even. Tonight I'm talking to white supremacists. I'm talking to those people who believe and have failed for, who've been told and sold the white power story. I understand every society who had an economic substructure built on slaves, taught in their social superstructure institutions that slavery was okay. Come on, Plato, these guys okayed slavery to their population. Everybody didn't fall for the hype. Even in America, you had an anti-slavery abolitionist movement. It was obviously wrong, inhumane. But it paid. It paid. You know, they said there's a dead Chinese man for every road, every tie in the railroads that have gone across this country. Did they care about the life of a Chinese immigrant in this country during those times? No. It wasn't about race, baby. But if I could get you not to care about that Chinese man, I can make a joke about how do you build a tunnel through a mountain where you give a Chinese man a stick of dynamite and you tell him to go in that hole in the mountain and put that dynamite down and come on, run it out. Well, what if he don't lose as a Chinaman? The joke goes, all you lose is a Chinaman. The most you lose is a Chinaman. And so if I can get you not to care, I have to have a program, because this ain't natural. You have to tell a child to disrespect another race because it ain't natural. So it's a program. You program the child. Y'all can't play together anymore. Y'all getting too big for that. He needs to call you Mr. So-and-so now. He can't call you by your first name like y'all did when y'all were playing as kids, black and white. The young white boy has to learn the program. Just the young black kid has to learn the program. Everybody stays in their lane. This is the way society works. And you have to be taught that. It's a program. That's all. And it works. For the most part. But actually, most people saw it was wrong. So there was abolition movements, and this, it was clear it was wrong. It paid, and that trumped everything. Jim Crow paid. Got a job before a black guy could get it. I understand that. You got them benefits. So you went along with the program, even though you knew black people, even though you knew that that was all bullshit. They say black people do this, black people do that. Some poor whites actually had to get a chance to live with around black people and knew better. Some poor white blacks actually got to live around poor white people and knew they weren't all, white folks' eyes weren't colder than ours. So when you get up close and personal, you realize that's bullshit. But you benefited from it, you go along with it, and you teach your kids that bullshit. And it works during slavery, and it works during Jim Crow, because that's how you make your money, oppressing some group of people for their labor. But now the program has changed now. Now you a fair game. Now you the slave. You could be just as much a slave as I can. Under this new paradigm, it doesn't matter anymore. Mexican, white, it doesn't matter anymore. You're the one that's still struggling, Mexican against white, white against black. Now, your corporations, the people who hire you, I don't. They have moved on, and they got a new propaganda. You just got stuck in the old program, baby. The future ain't that. That's the past. And for your own good, tonight, I want you to try to understand that the color is green. It ain't no other. There are no nations or flags to these wealthy corporations and billionaires. That's just shekels and rubles and pounds and shilling and yen and dollars and euros and pesos. You see, you're the one that's been left behind if you don't know that. And you're spouting 1800s, 1600s mentality to yourself and your kids and your community about black people, white people. Everybody who shit behind two pair of shoes need a place to stay, food to eat, and clothes on their back. You know better than that. And you better catch up, because I told you, go back to your white supremacist leader and ask him about something called the Night of the Long Knives. And you'll find out what Hitler did for his white supremacists, for the Aryan Brotherhood and the brown shirts. After he got through with them, after he got the militant shit out of the way, the corporations came to him and sit down with Hitler. You should see Schindler's List, guys, if you ain't seen that movie. The corporations sit down with him and say, we'll back you in this war, but we need you to get rid of these guys, these troublemakers, these Aryan first, white first folks, because some of us risk Jews. Yeah, that's right. And so, and Americans, Henry Ford. Henry Ford was part of that. And so, Hitler had to make a choice. Do I get these corporations to back me and fund this war, these wealthy families? Or do I support these skinheads and these white supremacists and Aryan first and white people first and all that bullshit? No. He instituted something called the Night of the Long Knives. And if you're white and you're a white supremacist, and if you think you know about Hitler and you've read Mein Kampf, if you don't know what I just talked about, if you don't know what happened that night, you better go back to your leadership. Somebody forgot to tell you something. Hitler disposed of you guys and en masse one night. Some of you were still asleep when you got your throats cut. Wake up, white supremacists. You're going to get used and abused and tossed aside because you don't keep up. Things have changed. And what happened to you guys when you don't keep up with the change? The very people you look up to, you call your leadership, going to sit down with the corporations in this country, at this time, and say, yeah, we can put that program in, but you got to do something about these guys. And something's going to get done. Night of the Long Knives. Look it up. I'm just saying, for your own good, it's time to move on. For your own good. Guys, I've opened my chat room. This is my call-in section. I've opened my chat room. My phone number is area code 319-527-6060. 319-527-6060. You call me, you go straight onto the air. Everybody hears what you have to say. Everybody hears my response. I also got my chat room open. So if you have something to say, you would just like to type it out, type it out. I'll respond to it in the chat. Woo, tonight we're talking to the white supremacists. I'm trying to get a message out to them that them days are over. You missed the boat. Things have moved on. the people who promoted that through society in those days. I got that. I understand that. You got caught up in that. And so you're still spouting the same stuff, 1800 stuff about black people and white people and black mud people. That's garbage, man. It's garbage now. It worked back then. It's perfect back then. You could tell a white kid that a black man grew a tail at night. Because he didn't hang out with black people, he believed it. And because the wealthy made money off of keeping black people at low wages, slavery, the ultimate being slavery, the ultimate of cheap labor. Since they were making out like bandits with plantations and cotton and whatnot and tobacco, they let you play that game and fed you more of that, as much of that as you want. Hollywood made movies. Cecil B. DeMille made a special movie to show you how black people would do if they were free, how they would rape your white women. And you fell for the okey-doke. They sold you, man. They pulled everything, their superstructure. They pulled the religion together, the churches together. They pulled the educational institutions together, all to sell you on this idea of oppressing another race of people so that they can make that money and walk away with that bag. Not you, them. And when they get tired of you, when they don't need the Klan anymore, they come down on the Klan. When they needed the Klan, they made movies about them. The Birth of a Nation. Cecil B. DeMille. When they need the Klan to oppress black people, when they need that, they make movies about that. That's how you know the society, the government's on board. But when they move on, fellas, you have to move. You got to move on, too, or you're going to get left behind. You're going to get used and abused. You're going to get a night of the long nights if you keep it up. I'm telling you. Hitler wasn't nothing nice. This is my call-in section, guys. My phone number is area code 319-527-6060. I got my chat room open, so if you got a comment, question, comment, whatever, you can put it in. This part of my show I call Your Time to Shine. Don't go.
It's awesome. It's so long. I'll just pass it to
You're listening to Revolutionary Life. This is Gary speaking. We're here every weekday night, guys, from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, Monday through Friday. Tonight, and we have different subjects every night. It's a different topic. All of it has to do with things that affect our lives every day, directly and indirectly, but affect our lives just the same. And some of this shit needs to change. And that's all revolution is, guys. Revolution ain't nothing but change. Tonight we're talking about white supremacy, white power, white nationalism. It always has its day. But when the government no longer supports it, you know what? I did a whole section the other day about education. And one of the things I talked about was vouchers for education. And I told you, get ready. Public education is being privatized, just like public prisons, public libraries, public land, public property. Everything's being privatized, sold to private individuals for profit, fun and profit. Even the government services in my town are privatized. It's done by private contractors. We ain't running shit. Corporations are running things. Corporations are too big to fail, so they're running things. Obviously. There was a time when white supremacy brought in big bucks. But I told you, if I was a store owner or a restaurant owner, I'd want money from black people and white people. It's all green. But if I thought black people coming into my restaurant would run away my white customers, my longtime white customers, with that money, I put a white-only sign out front. Not because I'm prejudiced. But I want to hold on to my constituency. And I know they'd get up and leave if a black family came in and sit down to eat. Not because I'm prejudiced, but when you see that white only sign out in front of my business, I'm only trying to preserve my business. You got a damn thing to do with white or black. Economics, baby. Green, baby. Right here in my town, they put a takeout window. They wanted that black money so bad, guys, that they put a takeout window in the back where you can still order if you were black. You just had to go around to the window to pick up your order. So no white people got a chance to see you since you didn't come through the front door. But you think they were going to let that black money get away? Come on now. You think, oh, this is a white-only establishment. They must believe white folks are superior. They must believe that white is right. White is, you know, and all that good shit. They must have failed for the hype, too. They want us. No, this is a businessman. He would let blacks come through that front door and get that money. But the only reason he doesn't, it's because it would run away his longtime white customers, good paying customers. put a white only sign out front. Then he ran around back and knocked a hole in the wall and built a takeout so he could get that black money. Corporations needed that at the time. It paid. You could oppress the people by color, easily to identify who they are, easy to catch them if they run, because they stood out from everybody else by color. But the game has changed, baby. That's all I was just saying to you guys. You left back there with that old propaganda that was necessary. There had to be a program. The churches, the schools, the superstructure of the society, like every other slave society, had to sell the idea of slavery to you. And they did a damn good job because you still believe that shit today. That's how programmed you are. But you never got deprogrammed. Nobody came to you and said, look, drop all that stuff, man. We did all that black and white stuff so we can make that money, so we can get that bag. Them days are over. Now we're going after everybody, white or black. It's a whole new game now. Now I want to know if you checked your credit score, because it's a whole new game. There's some whole new chains. White power. Worked at one time. The movie industry. The government allowed you to have segregated places and schools. The movie industry. Did Cecil B. DeMille put out Birth of a Nation? Talk about the Ku Klux, how great the Ku Klux Klan was. And so when them days gone now, guys, the movies ain't on your side no more. Corporations are in Georgia right now. Because of this election situation in Georgia and these new election rules that won't allow certain people to vote, that will stop people from voting, mostly people of color, right? Some corporations like Coca-Cola and others are withdrawing endorsements and whatnot to this city because of it. They ain't on your side no more, guys. When you had them on your side, you could run, this pro-white supremacist thing could run its run and play. No problem. But when they move on, you should move on. And when you don't move on, I warned you. Just remember that. You're going to get allowed to be left behind. You're going to get allowed to be left where you are in danger. You're going to be put in situations where your support, your backup is not going to show up. You remember January the 6th? You remember storming the Capitol? Your backup ain't going to show up. The police, the military, the people you put in place, the people who talk your shit but don't show up, ain't going to show up. They're going to leave you dangling and hope you don't make it. I told you, if you're a white supremacist, then you must have read The Rise and Fall of the Third Reich. If you're a white supremacist, you must know about the night of the long knives, where you skinheads, you white power, you Aryan brotherhoods, you white is right people, got taken out by your own leader. Because corporations say, support you, Hitler, but them folks over there, they're keeping up too much shit. Crystal knock. They're running around breaking the windows out of Jewish stores and attacking them on the streets. This shit got to stop. All this white power shit has to stop. We need to get out of business. Every concentration camp had a factory attached to it. This was about business. German businessmen are today international businesses because of those prison camps. Free labor. Slavery. And y'all got in the way, you white supremacists. And so you had your night of the long knives. You better read about it. That's all you're asking for right now. If you stay back there in that white supremacist movement, thoughts and ideas, you're asking for your night of the long knives. Look at that. This is my call-in section, guys. My lines are open. And I have my chat room open, so if you have questions or comments, you're free to submit them. You listen to Revolutionary Life. We're talking to the white supremacists tonight. I hope they're listening. You're listening to Revolutionary Life. This is Gary speaking. Tonight I had a message. I had a shout out to white supremacists. I wanted to speak to them tonight. And my message was simply for them to wake up now because it's later than they think. My message to them. It's later than you think. Some of them understood what I meant when I referenced the Night of the Long Knives. Some of them remember how Hitler slaughtered his own skinheads. They were called brown shirts back in them days. When the corporations told him, clean that mess up and we can do business. And he did. Some of them got their throats slit while they slept. useful idiots. You got used to break glass. Crystal, no. You got used to wreak havoc. But when havoc and breaking glass didn't make money, they found a way to get rid of you. And they will. You see it going down right now, guys. That's my point. Time's running out. I understand that there was a meeting held in D.C. today. It was live. Or was it yesterday? Yeah, 24 hours ago. It was live. And that meeting was about you, white supremacists. It was about domestic terror. Did you see that meeting that went down yesterday at the Capitol building? Oh, yeah. It was a history. I mean, it was a meeting on domestic report on domestic violence in America and hate groups. They're talking about you, man. Wake up. Ain't no more white power, white supremacist bullshit. Don't let anybody pull you into one of these organizations or ways of thinking on any level. Even acquiescing to seeing it and going along with it and taking advantage of it. Them days are over, babe. What's going to happen? If you keep running around being white supremacists and white nationalists and Nazis and skinheads and burning torches and all that mess, marches and all that stuff, you're going to be useful for a while for disruption purposes. But them days are vastly going away. You finna get left behind, baby. You're going to get left behind. Not only are you going to get left behind, they're going to get you out of the way. You're in the way of the money being made. And they won't have that. Even if they believed in white supremacy, they ain't got to have that. They believe in green supremacy. Night of the Long Knives. Don't get used because you've been told and sold on this program that's changed and you didn't change with it. The program has changed. Oppressing somebody because of their race has changed. Now it's oppressing you too. You don't got pushed into that oppression category. The Chinese are in Africa. The corporate world have broke racial barriers long before you did. And they're making out like bandits while you're fighting each other over race. So it wouldn't surprise you to think that a Japanese may have thought he was superior to you as a white man. The yellow Aryan, he called himself when he ran with Hitler. Anyway, guys. I want to thank everybody for listening in tonight. We're running down on our time. And so I want to say thank you, thank you, thank you for everyone who listened in. If you caught this presentation halfway through, then an hour from now, this presentation will be on demand as all of our stuff is archived. And so give me about an hour after this presentation and you'll be able to see that this entire presentation available to you in our on-demand section. And if you're on my page, you should be able to scroll down and see that section. Also, there's a follow button at the top if you want to follow these pages, so this program, so that you know some of the topics as they're coming up. And there's a share button. There's a little arrow going to the left there, up there where the follow button is, I do believe. And then you can hit share and share this presentation on your website, on your Facebook page. On to your friends. Share it. Send it out. Somebody might get something out of this. Tonight out with some white supremacists. Tonight this was targeted to the white supremacists out there. I want to let them know that things are changing. They had a meeting today in the Capitol, or yesterday, and it was all about you. Remember the night of the long knives, the ones you thought was your friends. Don't get used and abused, white brother. The world is changing, and if you don't change with it, you get left behind. The wave takes you under when it comes. Stick with us over here at the Revolutionary Life Channel, where we keep our fingers on the pulse so that we can ride the wave of change. Change is inevitable. You don't stop it. But if you can ride it, it'll take you forward like a surfer would. But you have to time it. You have to be finger on the pulse. All right. So I want to thank everyone again tonight for listening in. Remember to share. Remember, we are archived, so you can certainly watch these shows anytime you want. Anytime, day or night, you can find our older shows. Just catching me live. You want to catch me live, be here any weekday night, Monday through Friday, from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. And we'll be here on Blog Talk Radio. Thank you for listening in again. And you have a good night.